Well, hello again. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this recording today and for our lesson, our Bible study that we're going to do today in honor of the Lord and get into His Word. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Amen. Amen. I hope that's what your spiritual attitude is today, that you're not putting any faith or any, and the Bible says not to put any faith in the arm of flesh. It tells us not to love this world. It says this is not our abide, this is not where we're going to abide. It says this is not our continuing city. It says we seek one to come. And that one to come is our Lord Jesus Christ to take us out of here. And it's not going to be long. But however long it is, we're going to wait it out and we're going to serve the Lord and give Him glory with our lives and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you for joining today. We're going back into our study of the letter X. And I hope you got all. I hope you went over those scriptures that again, like that we had in the last lesson, last couple lessons. But just to recap, just a little bit. The last time that we talked about it, we began to itemize the topics that we're talking about. X-rated for Christians. We started itemizing things that are X-rated for Christians. We talked about the study of separation and positional separation and practical separation, what the Bible teaches the Christian. The Bible doesn't teach the world to stay to what to do and what not to do. It warns the world what to do and what not to do. The Bible teaches the Christian what he ought to be doing and what he ought not to be doing, how he ought to think, how he ought not to think. And then we talked about victory and whether or not we have the victory. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We have the victory in positional separation. We are already there with the Lord. We're just in this body until He takes us out of it and gives us a new one and lets us, and the Bible says, "And so shall we be with the Lord forever." Once we get with the Lord, we're going to be with Him forever, and we're going to get to serve Him. We're not going to have all these things about this flesh that's going to be aggravating us and having to put up with and tolerate and forbear and suffer with anymore. It's not going to be there anymore. It's just not going to be there. The Bible says that. There'll be no more of that stuff. But right now there is, and we have to practice against it and practice in the flesh. Being in the flesh, we have to mind the Holy Ghost and spiritually walk in the Spirit and battle this flesh and battle the things that attack our flesh. Last time we talked about one thing that attacked our flesh was drinking alcohol. I don't know how many of you, all of us are affected by that. We are a time or another tempted to get to take the drink, which is probably going to be a temptation for some of us until we fall asleep, like the Bible says, and go to be with the Lord, or either the Lord comes to get us. And some of you might not be affected with it at all. And that's a good condition to be in to help somebody else that's having troubles with it. The Bible says we ought to help one another. It says Christians ought to be there. We ought to weep with each other. We ought to cry with one another. We ought to rejoice with one another. And we ought to help one another out of some binds. And the Bible says, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. We ought to do what we can to help out our Christian brothers and sisters that are having trouble with the devil has put something, or either their flesh has caused them to get into something having to do with this stuff about drinking alcohol. We talked about a whole bunch of what the Bible says about it, and the Bible never did say thou shalt not drink, did it? Never did. Never did. But it did give us a whole bunch of evidence about how God thinks about drinking and what drinking does. And most of it, if any of y'all ever had a drink, you can identify with. You can identify. So according to the scriptures, this thing about drinking alcohol and having a drink, the strong drink, the mixed drink, and not the wine, not the grapes, not the grape juice. Ain't nobody ever got drunk off grape juice. And if they have, well, I don't even know. I don't even know how to comment on that. But these people tell you about this wine business and this comic book strip gobbledygook about the Bible says that Jesus made wine and the Bible says that you can drink wine and blabbity blabbity blab. They ain't read their Bible that good. They don't know what the Bible says. We've been into the scriptures and we know what the scriptures warn us about and tell us about what the effects of the strong drink does and what it does to you spiritually, what it does to you physically, what it makes you think, what it does to your mind, what it does to your spirit. We've been over all that. And we know what it takes to make that strong drink, that it's man-made and man's one, and you figure that's how come it makes things happen like that, because man got his hand in on it. When man gets his hand in on it, it's just like an old wart-nosed witch standing there with a mixing stick over her cauldron and mixing that mess up. And that's what they do down at them liquor factories and them beer factories. They got enough of my money for sure, and I got nothing out of it except, I did too. I got a good lesson, but that was because of God's grace. That was because of God's grace. And I give him all the glory, and so should you. Thank you for listening to this, and thank you for sitting there, whether it's good or whether it's going to, whatever the Word of God's going to do to you today, do for you today, you ought to thank the Lord ahead of time and thank him after. But that drink, we need to help our brothers and sisters to get away from that drink, and you that are participating or consuming that stuff, and then you're probably hiding it, and you probably feel like garbage because you're not walking sincerely before the Lord, and you want to do something about it. Well, get with some Christians, get with some people that you trust that walking in the Spirit. You can tell whether a brother or sister is trying to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Get with some that you trust. Get with a pastor and sit down and tell him the situation. And a good pastor and a good Christian that understands the scriptures and understands that flesh, he's not going to condemn you. He knows what that flesh will do. And get some help started for you. Get some prayers started for you. And get the Lord's attention on this matter. And let the Lord examine your heart and know that you mean business and know that you just can't do it and that you need some help. And the Lord will help you. He helped me. He helped me. He sure did. And the main thing that's going to help you is God's Word. You need to get up under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and God's Word is alive. And the Bible says, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You want to get clean? You want to clean something up? Get up under that Word. Get up under that Word, and that's what you're doing right now. God bless you for that. All right, well, let's get on into this next one. The next topic that we're going to talk about concerning X-rated for Christians is why Christians don't gamble. Why Christians don't gamble. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say, thou shalt not gamble. It don't say it. Show it to me. It don't say it. It's not in there. But there's a lot of evidence in the scriptures about God's mind concerning gambling, taking chances, chancing things, and a couple other outlooks concerning what God thinks about it, and avenues that have to do with gambling, not necessarily taking a chance, but having to do with spiritual things. And what does it make God think whenever you gamble? And what is it personally about you that makes you want to gamble? Or what does God think about your person whenever you're gambling? Is it in the flesh? Can you gamble spiritually? The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, the idea for a Christian is not whether or not I can gamble, or whether I'm just taking a little bit of gambling, or whether I'm doing it. The thing about it is what does God say? And if God says it, that's cut and dry, that's where I'm going to leave it, and that's where I'm going to adjust my living. If God said, I hate gambling, don't you dare gamble. You wouldn't have no problem with that, because if you gambled, you'd be directly disobeying him, wouldn't you? But the thing about it is God treats you like a grown-up. He tells you all the evidence having to do with gambling, and then expects you to make the right choice. Because the will is free. God never intervened. He didn't force your will. He lets you direct your own will, what you want to do. What is gambling anyway? There's a popular slogan promoting the lotteries, and there's a lot of them going on nowadays. I mean a lot. The lotteries, and just thinking about it, you know. I mean, the devil he'll get me cornered sometimes and get me thinking about that. And man, if I won a lottery and had $5, $10, $20 million, I could go open up a ministry and this and that and the other and help out troubled men and pay the bills and feed them and clothe them and pay the electric bill and the gas bill and the heat bill and pay some people to help out and just get these people under God's word. And man, oh man. And it gets you to thinking about that and then lusting after that money. But the problem is you got to take a chance to do it. You got to take a chance on losing something. And you got to participate in the world's business along with all the worldly people. But a popular slogan promoting the lottery says, millions won weekly. Now they're saying millions won daily. But it fails to tell you about the other side of the story. Anytime they only tell you the so-called positive stuff concerning all this gambling stuff. And it never tells you, it just fails to tell you the other side of the story. They say millions won weekly. Look, such and such won this. You see a big old smile on their face with a great big piece of cardboard with it looks like a check and all this kind of stuff, you know. Says countless millions lost weekly. You don't ever see no check with that, do you? I mean, they ain't never handed nobody a check that said -$20 million deficit. you don't see nothing like that, do you? They fail to mention the ruined lives and the broken homes and the hungry children and the accompanying rise in organized crime and prostitution and the theft that goes along with it and all the mongrels that gather together. It's funny how everybody knows when you get a whole bunch of money, boy. And knock at the door and the phone won't shut up and just all kind of garbage going on, huh? That's man's nature. Now, our country's a nation of gamblers. That's what America's about, is gambling. I mean, it's got a lot of gambling going on in it. It's got raffles, it's got bingos, it's got the lotto, it's got racing, it's got casinos, even got a city set aside. You can go and do nothing but take chances. With many temptations are presented to the child of God when it comes to all this stuff. I mean, a lot of them. Ain't no different than that drinking. They got signs all over the place, got big old lotto. Play the lotto, play the four numbers. I don't even know the name of all of them anymore. Never did know the name of all of them. I think I hadn't had that big a temptation about gambling. I have it in, you know, that lust where you lust after, you know, all of a sudden you go from having $5 in your billfold and none in your bank account, and you go to having $20 million, and you think about how that would feel and all this, that, and the other, and you lust after it until you finally put it away and put that thought away, you know, and cast down that thought. you think about that. But I think mostly about how mad I'd be when I lose. And what an idiot I feel like. You know, do I want a loaf of bread or I want to take a chance? And you know, things like that. But a lot of people, you know, they take a portion of their check and they discipline themselves to do this and do that and all this, that, and I just thinking to myself, we can discipline ourselves to do that and just put 5% aside to gamble with and don't touch anything else and really discipline yourself and stuff like that. And if you win, fine. If you don't, fine. But what happens about that tithing? Ooh-wee! You say, we're talking about gambling, Brother TV. We're not talking about tithing. Okay. What's the Bible have to say on this matter of gambling? Let's just look at it and see. What's the Bible say about gambling? Does it, first of all, first thing we learn is that gambling, God does not say specifically in the Scriptures, thou shalt not gamble. It's not there. But what we're going to have to do is examine the evidence of what the Scripture says and rightly divide the word of truth and study it and see what God's word says. First thing we want to talk about is that gambling is an insult to God. You say, what? Yeah. Gambling is an insult to God. You say, well, how in the world can that be? God owns everything. God don't lose anything when I gamble. Well, no, he don't. With exception that he cares about you and he loves you and he wants the very best for you. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not the state's riches of the lotto bank of the state of Florida or the state of whatever. It says, my God shall supply all your need. So anything above your need that you're trying to get from the lotto bank is not need. It's lust. Listen to it. But God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God says no, the Bible says no good thing will God withhold from them that love him. So, is it an insult to God? Well, I mean, if you told your children that you was going to provide all their needs and you're going to take care of this, and listen, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. I've got it handled. I'm going to take care of it for you. And they go out of their way to take care of it some other way, and you've done worked it out to where you're going to help them out, and they go some other way, would that be an insult to you? Yeah. God shall supply, the Bible says, all, A-L-L, our need. All our need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, listen to this part, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, wow, may abound to every good work. The Bible says that God's great, God is able to have enough grace and use enough grace towards you, that grace that will abound towards you, that you won't need anything, and that you'll have every single thing in every area that you need. Listen to what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, not some of the time, always having all sufficiency, everything you need in all things. That means everywhere, your clothes, God knows what you have need of before you ask, the Bible says. All things may abound to every good work. God will give you everything that you need. Unconditionally. Do you believe that? You know what this does? This splits the difference of where your trust is. If we're trusting the Lord, we believe His Word, don't we? And you that are trusting the Lord for finances and for your needs and for your food and for your house payment and for all the situations you get in. Listen, trusting the Lord is completely different than... The Lord never made you sign your name to anything, did He? Has the Lord ever sent you a bill for something He's done for you? Has He ever sent you something and said that you withdrew too much and you need to pay it back? No. Everything from the Lord is free, isn't it? Freely given by His grace and because He wants to, not because He has to. And the Bible tells us that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, the Lord said for us to read His Word and believe it. Gambling is an insult to God. If we leave the Lord and stop trusting Him to go spend our money on taking a chance of winning a million or hundreds of millions of dollars, we got a lot more thinking and planning in that if it hits, right? I mean, you've already thought it out, what you'll do. I mean, what's the first thing you think when you go to gambling, when you go to think about gambling? Well, I'm going to go put $20 down here, and if my numbers pop up, then what? Then I'm going to go to church and I'm going to thank God and pray and no. That ain't in there, is it? I'm going to pay off all my bills. I'm going to give my family There you go. I'm going to pray and ask God what He wants me to do with it. Huh? Really? Really, really? You see, God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. God's riches. God's riches are different than the world's riches. The Bible says, there is that maketh himself rich and yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor yet hath great riches. Well, God speaks a whole different language, doesn't He, than the world speaks. Having to do with this gambling, if I was God and I wanted to provide your needs and you was my youngin' and I put my son up to die for you and you trusted in him and I gave you eternal life and I promised to take care of you and you run off to the world and start throwing the money that I'm giving to you and everything else to them to take a chance to get their money so you can run off and lust somewhere. And take care of all these, start wearing all the clothes that you know you ought not be wearing, start going to play. The Lord tells us, make no provision for the flesh. Would $100 million make provision for your flesh? I mean, if you're a real good Christian and you really love God and you're doing the things that are pleasing in His sight right now, if you gambled one time, hit $100 million, would that make provision for your flesh? Would that make it hard for you to serve God? Really? Listen to this. When we gamble, we're in effect saying to the Lord, I don't think you're going to keep your promise. Another truth in it's that we're not satisfied with just our needs being met. You see, We want more. And that's called greed. You said, stop, Brother TV, just stop. I know it. I hate my greed. Yeah, I got greed. I hate my stinking greed. And sitting there looking in your billfold, and every time you go to spend some money, you look, see how much is left, rather than look, see how much you spent. Yeah. I hate money. Money ain't been nothing but a pain in a hind end for me. And you too, if you told the truth. If all the money, if everybody said that the dollar bills, and it's going to plastic now, everybody says, you know, and you see how it's going and all that kind of stuff. Nobody knows where it's going to end up. It's going to end up in the Antichrist controls what's going to end up being. But if, say, today, you wake up, you go to bed tonight, and you wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden everybody gets a text or an email or... or whatever. It ain't the mailbox no more, is it? But you, everybody in the United States gets a big old announcement on there saying, okay, all the paper money is no good anymore. You can use it to light your fireplace with it. It ain't no good. Nobody's going to take it. It's not legal tender anymore. It's not worth nothing. But now, if you want to take all your green money and come down here to the gravel pit, we're going to change out rocks for... all your paper money, and we're going to use rocks for currency from now on. In other words, when you go to the grocery store, they're going to have rock. They're going to have five little rocks and four pebbles. It's going to cost you for a bag of flour. You say, that's dumb, stupid, Brother T. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if they did that, do you know that you couldn't find a rock? You couldn't find a rock. That'd be something to win the lottery and a big old plane fly by and drop a big old boulder on your house. Anyway, that's crazy, ain't it? But that's how people are. That's how that sin nature is. If they stopped green currency tomorrow and said rocks was going to be it, brother, I mean, yeah. Gambling's an insult to God, because God said that He'd give us all. Now, have you ever trusted the Lord for something, really? I mean, the Lord does things His way. That's really true. He does. He does things His way. Have you ever asked the Lord for something and He gives it to you? And you know, and you think, wow, He really gave it to me. And you trusted Him for it and He really gave it to you. Really, really. Yeah. We've all had time or two of that. Have you ever asked Him something and you've had to wait on it? Yeah. Have you ever asked Him something and it just did not come about at all? Yeah. Well, see, God's in control of all that. He's the one, you said, the problem is that human beings that are in the flesh, when we're in the flesh and we're thinking like being in the flesh, we don't want God to control the billfold. I mean, I still want to hold the money, even if I do ask you, Lord. If I ask you if I want something and you tell me no, I still want to hold the money. That's how it is, ain't it? That's that flesh. That's that flesh. But when we get to trusting the Lord, we don't care whether we got any money or not. If we're trusting Him, we don't, and it don't matter. And the Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it is. When you get out from under the burden of caring about money every single day, about you get to where you don't... Have you gone one whole day without thinking about money? It's hard, ain't it? That's how this world is. They try to make you think about money every single day. Now, how much you got, how much you got saved, how much you spending, what you need, what you don't need, blabbity, 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 blab. That's not God's business when it comes to trusting. And then when you think about it in the subject of gambling, it really all becomes nonsense. Because gambling ain't nowhere near anything that God wants for us. That's not all. Gambling is an insult to God, but gambling is spiritually dangerous. It's dangerous for a Christian to gamble because it makes provision for the flesh. It starts making you think ways that you ought not be thinking. Now, this is a sin which has drowned many a man in destruction and perdition and hell. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It traps you and it tempts you. If you want, it doesn't say they that are rich, but they that will be rich. It's your will to be rich. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Man, that don't sound like nothing good about that, is it? And Timothy didn't go around the bushes about it. He said, they that will be rich. What's the whole purpose, if you wound it all up to the root cause, meaning, what's the whole purpose of gambling? The whole purpose. To win. To win what? Riches. Riches. You like the way I said that, didn't you? Riches. To win riches. And Timothy says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's spiritually dangerous. It'll tempt you. It'll bring temptations into your life that wouldn't normally be there if you didn't have a pocket full of money. It'll trap you. There'll be snares, especially when the taxes get a hold of you. There'll be snares. There'll be traps. There'll be booby traps. There'll be foolish and hurtful lusts. There'll be things that you would normally consider sinful and you would normally keep your character and your integrity rather than messing around with hurtful and foolish lusts. But since you got a pocket full of money, so what? I'll buy my way out of it. Man, I don't care about my character. I got a bank account, which drown men in destruction. It will destroy you, the Bible says. And if you do your homework on lotteries and people that have won lotteries and won gambling and won this, that, and the other, you'll find out that they really didn't win anything when it comes to their person and their family and their home and their this, that, and the other and stuff like that. Y'all read some of the statistics about that stuff, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, wait a minute. That's what our Bible says. That's what God's Word says, and that's what we're doing here today is trying to figure out what God's Word says about this thing about gambling. And Timothy there hit it right on the head when he talking about will be rich, because that's everything there is about gambling. You ain't gambling so you can give money to your children, or even though you might, and you ain't gambling so you can pay off all your bills, even though you might. You ain't gambling so you can have better this and better that and buy you a house and tithe more and give to the poor and all that stuff, even though you may. You're gambling to be rich. You see, it's spiritually dangerous. The Bible says those that will In other words, want to above all else. I mean, everybody goes up there and hands their money to somebody to buy one of them gambling tickets. They might say, well, I ain't never going to win anyway. But in their heart, what are they thinking? I got just as much chance as anybody. The Bible says those that will, that want above all else to be rich, the danger is that they will experience temptation. They will experience snares. They will experience foolish and hurtful lusts that will drown men in destruction and perdition. That's what Timothy says. And that's what God authored right there and tells us in the scriptures about this mess. If you gamble and you're going to gamble anyway, gamble. Give it all to them. But don't think that God's word's not going to come to pass, because if it is, it is. And if you know anything about God, you wouldn't, if you know anything about God keeping his word, you wouldn't be studying right now. But you do know about God's word. That's why you're putting faith in it and listening to these lessons, participating in these lessons, because you want to know what God thinks about things so you can make wiser choices. And God bless you for that. Spiritually gambling is spiritually dangerous. And that's not all. What else? Well, the Bible says that gambling is basically selfish. You say, oh, no, not that. Yeah, gambling's selfish. To gamble requires seeking prosperity at the expense of others. When 10 people put in the same amount into a pot to win something, how many lose? Go ahead and say it with me. How many lose? Ready? 9. 9 people lose. So, when you put your money in the pot and you win, how many people lost? 9 of them did. Does that matter to you? When you put your money in with 100 million people to win $400 million and you win, how many people lost? 399,999,999 people lost. But you won. Is that selfish? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, when you put money into the lotto or put it into whatever you're putting it in that everybody else is putting it in, what are you doing? You're coveting, number one, because you're putting your hope and your desire and your affections into something, taking a chance to get something. What are you taking a chance to get? Everybody else's money? Yeah. Now, come on now. Is that right? No one gambles to lose. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. No one gambles to lose. The prime motivation for all forms of gambling is to gain what is not worked for. What's the first thing you'd probably do if you won the lottery? Quit your job. Man, this thing is warm, ain't it? Ooh-wee. Prime motivation for gambling is to gain what is not worked for, brothers and sisters, is to get everybody else's money put a little bit in and get a lot back, and everybody else loses. So what? That ain't the way Christians think. Christians ain't selfish like that. Christians don't think about everybody else losing something so I can have something. That's not the way Jesus thinks. That's not the way God thinks. That's not Christ's mind. Listen, covetousness, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tend only to penury." You get poor when you're just yapping and just talking about doing something. But it says all labor profiteth. Every time you use your hands and work and do something to get what you want and to get what you need, the Lord says he'll profit that. But he said the talk of the lips tend only to penury, or penury, however you say that, being poor. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live." In other words, I'm going to work, and I'm going to have my integrity, and I'm going to have my dignity, and I'm going to do the things that are right before God, and I ain't going to take no chances to put my house in trouble. The Bible says, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." And it does, doesn't it? Gambling's basically selfish. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Everything in eternity that's evil, the root of it is money. The love of it. Loving money. Do you love money? Here you go. Here's a question. Only requires a yes or no answer. Do you love money? That's a hard one, ain't it? "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's just from loving money. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's just loving money. That ain't going out and trying to get it and everything. That's just loving it. This verse doesn't teach that money is a problem, but rather loving money is a problem. Jesus Christ used money. Remember? Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, whenever him and Peter was talking about it, and then people was trying to trick the Lord and find any way to mess with him, and they said something about him paying his taxes, remember? "And when they were come to Capernaum," this is Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 through 27, "and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money," tax money, "they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? He saith, yes." You know, he's defending the Lord. "And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute?" In other words, who do the kings of the earth get taxes from? "Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." And he was giving him a spiritual lesson there. talking about people that love God and people that are in the family of God, that they're free. They don't have to, they're free, but the ones that are in the world are the ones that are in trouble. Now listen to what the Lord said. Peter saith unto him of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. He said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, who? The tax collectors. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. Jesus used money, but he talked about it when it needed to be talked about. He used it when he needed to use it, and he didn't say another word about it after he took care of the problem. He didn't love money. He knows why all the money is in the fish's mouths. But the Lord used money. It didn't offend him to use money, and it didn't offend him to pay taxes. And as a matter of fact, the Lord tells us about the authorities that are over us and what we should do, tribute unto whom tribute is due, and all that kind of stuff. But he does talk about being selfish and loving money. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, listen to this. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God intends for man to live by the what? By the sweat of his face. That is, to work for a living. Now, it's a principle with God that there's got to be work before wealth, and sowing before reaping. Now, there's people that are rich, that are Christians, and they walk the walk. They are close to the Lord, and they are pleasing to the Lord, and the Lord has a specific part of the Scriptures that he addresses rich people specifically and tells them how their mind and their heart ought to be with that money that he's given them. And the ones that are obeying him and doing what they're doing with it, they're walking with him just as good as a poor person is. But the Lord gave it to them because he knew that they would obey him with that. And the Lord uses people to bless other people and to do things like that. But it's the Lord's business. It's not the world's business, and there ain't no gambling going on about it. Nobody's taking no chances, and 500 people ain't losing and one winning. God intends man to live by the sweat of his face. And anybody that's ever worked for a paycheck or worked for the purpose of prospering somebody else so that they can get what they need and things like that, I mean, just fair gain, working for their wealth, whether it be a lot or a little, sowing before reaping. 2 Thessalonians says that, chapter 3, verse 7 through 15. Listen to this. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. For wrought with labor and travail night and day, and that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, Paul's telling them, he said, we didn't eat you, come down there and eat your bread and have your, eat your stuff and you feed us for nothing. He said, we worked for it, didn't we? That we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example, an ensample unto you to follow us. In other words, he said we could have come down here and said, hey, listen, we're apostles. You're supposed to feed us. We're preachers. The Bible says that we're worthy of double honor. And they would have had the right mind about it. But they didn't. He says, we've got the power. He said, but we didn't use it, and we didn't make ourselves, that we could make ourselves an example for you to follow us. In other words, work for what you got, what you want, and ask God to prosper you, and God will. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, see there? See there? And then he says, now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord's backing this up. That with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Wow. Whole bunch of truth in that verse, what Paul's teaching us, isn't it? First thing he said was that if I wanted to, I could eat your bread for free because the Lord put me here to prosper you, and my preaching and me bringing the word of God to you is worthy of eating your bread. And he would have been right. But he didn't do that. He worked in front of all them people to let them know that this is the way you do it. And he said that I hear that there's some people around there that's busybodies eating everybody else's bread and not doing nothing. Going over and buying lottery tickets. He said, that's got to stop. He said, tell them to eat their... He said that the Lord's backing this up, that I'm telling them that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And it said if they won't obey, note that man don't have no company with him, that he'll be what? He'll be ashamed. So Paul's saying somebody don't want to work and they want to get something for nothing from other people, that they ought to be ashamed of that. Gambling is basically selfish. Basically selfish. Gambling annuls God's natural law because the gambler seeks to reap what others have sown. And the Bible just taught us that that ain't right. That ain't right. That's not all. Not only is gambling basically selfish and gambling spiritually dangerous for us, and gambling is an insult to God after we've been studying a lot of this stuff here. I mean, we see where God's... the Bible does not say anywhere, thou shalt not gamble. It don't say it. But it gives us plenty of evidence of how the effects of this thing, the lust of the flesh, the wanting to be rich and trying to get something from everybody else and without doing anything and then not working for a living, not working. Any of y'all that's or all of you that's got some dignity and got some integrity and you don't, and you know, working is a pain in the hind end a lot of times. But you do it anyway because you know that's the way God says and that's what God blesses. And you do it and God blesses you and you walk out of it and it's like your $5 bills spend like $20 bills, isn't it? Yeah, sure is. You ain't got a whole bunch in the bank account, but what you got spends good, doesn't it? Because it's got God's blessing behind it. Not the gambling committee's blessing. That's not all. Gambling is poor stewardship. You know, the Lord gives us things to take care of that belong to Him that He trusts us to take care of. Nobody ever really wins by indulging in gambling. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, moreover, it is required of stewards and you're a steward, you're born again, you're in God's family, you're a servant of God, you're a servant, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. God requires each Christian to be faithful over all that is given him from his hand. We do not approve of others gambling away our money. You did what? You entrust your money to somebody, and there's a story that Jesus told us, a truth that Jesus teaches us in there about a Lord giving three different guys three different amounts of money, and when he come back, he jumped on that last one and called him wicked because of what he did with his money. You give somebody your money to keep for you, and you go off and you trust them, and you come back, and they say, I'm sorry, I gambled it all away. I just knew I was going to hit. I had the right number. I just knew it. And I lost it. And it's gone forever. You did what? And you don't think God thinks that way about what he gives us? I mean, you don't get a call from him or a letter or a warning card from him or anything like that. But you don't think the Lord stops and scratches his head when he sees that he gives you, give stuff to you, and then you take it, and he's looking at your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And he sees you go down there, and he sees you slip that $5 bill in there to get that lottery ticket for that $20 million, and he sees what's on your heart. Nobody ever really wins. You know, gambling's poor stewardship. It's not handling what God's given you in the right way. Now, remember, we're talking about Christians. X-rated for Christians. This is not the way the world thinks. This is not the way that it's possible for the world to think. They're in darkness. They're blinded to the things of God, and they can't think this way. Only by the Holy Ghost can you think, and by the Spirit can you think spiritually concerning this matter of gambling. And that's why we're talking about it, because this is a spiritual lesson. Now, gambling, that's not all. Gambling's not only poor stewardship, but gambling's often plain superstitious. And you know what the Lord talks about when he starts talking about all this superstitious stuff and hoopy-hoopy and ooh stuff and stuff like that. Like, you know what I'm talking about, like lucky numbers and lucky systems and crossing your fingers and a rabbit foot around your neck and a lucky charm and all that kind of stuff. It's superstitious. And our trust is to be in a supernatural person, not superstition. What we believe in is real. What they believe in is false. It's maybe it a hit. Here's my lucky charm. And it'd be a big toe he's wearing around his neck or something. Something stupid like that, you know. Listen to Isaiah 47, chapter 12, and verse through 14. It says, stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be that thou be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. God says if you're putting your trust in enchantments, you're putting your trust in sorceries, you're putting your trust all these things that you've been working at from your youth, and I'm going to make this my lucky number, my lucky systems, my lucky rabbit foot, my lucky charm. the Lord says, if so be that thou shalt be able to profit, go ahead, try it out, see if it works. If so be thou mayest prevail. And then he says, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. He said, let the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. You trusting in all this superstitious stuff? Well, the stars are lined up and the moon is a half moon and a quarter moon and blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. It's superstitious. And the Lord says for us not to trust in that mess. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. When we're about God's business, things work out for the good. For them that love God. Do you love God? Are you about His business? Sure you are. Then it's going to work out. The Lord promised. And it does, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You want something? Ask the Lord for it. Don't be ashamed. Ask the Lord for it. You know what you can ask Him for. And the silly things, we don't ask Him, do we? Why? Because they're silly. But we might go try to win a lottery to get them. You see the difference? The Bible says, therefore, to him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's James chapter 4 and verse 17. And finally, gambling makes one insensitive to God's will. Not only does gambling insult God, it's spiritually dangerous and it's selfish and it's poor stewardship with what God's giving you. Now, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to Christians. This is X-rated for Christians, for people that love God. People that are born again and walking in the Spirit. Gambling is superstitious, and gambling makes you insensitive to God's will. In other words, I remember there was an example about God the Holy Ghost, and an Indian described it like, he said, you draw a circle and you put a triangle in the center of that circle. And all three points touch the inner part of that circle. And whenever he was talking about it being your conscience, and every time your conscience is affected, that triangle will spin inside that circle, which is your heart. And it'll scratch on your heart, and it'll affect your heart because those points are so sharp. He said, but when you don't listen to the Holy Ghost and you become insensitive to to God's will, and you not listening to Him like you ought to, and reacting to His will as you ought to, or you know you ought to, as that triangle spins in there, and the Lord has told you this time and that time and that time, that triangle spins so much in there that it wears them corners down on them sharp points, and your heart don't feel it as much when it spins anymore. Insensitivity. You become insensitive. You just aren't affected by God's will anymore as much as you used to be. And that's not where we want to be, brothers and sisters. We want that when God says, excuse me, you say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Here am I. Here I am. Here am I. Immediately. Because here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We got to remember. Got to keep that in mind, that we're not wasting our time. The Lord says we're not wasting it. But gambling makes you insensitive. John chapter 19, listen to this. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, gambling. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. The Roman soldiers gambled for the clothes of the crucified Son of God that had God's blood on them. Probably some. They were completely unaware of the events transpiring in their presence, that the Son of God was dying for the sins of the world one time for all. When anyone's consumed with self-interest, they're most insensitive to the things of the Lord. Some things can get take us over so much that it just starts shoving the Lord out. It just happens, and the devil tries to do that to us all the time. The world definitely tries to do it. That's why they got all them stinking billboards up and down the roads advertising to you and sending you that junk mail all the time, and that television, that one-eyed monster, they got all that programming to program your mind and to make you think the way they want you to think. And it just pushes God out. And pretty soon you could sit down there with the soldiers and throw some dice and see who gets it. Resist any temptation of winning something. Win the Lord's favor. Do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Resist temptation to win anything. Avoid gambling as an enemy to your soul. Lean wholly upon the Lord for everything good. Don't be ashamed of asking the Lord for things. He's looking out for your good, and the Bible says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The Lord said that there would be no sorrow in the blessings that come from him. Does gambling's winnings have any sorrows attached to them? I think they do, don't they? There we go. Talking about gambling. X-rated for Christians. Why Christians don't gamble. If you've been gambling, I hope that the Lord has spoken to you. And he's definitely spoken to all of us. The scriptures have. And that's God's word. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to mind the Lord. That's what we're going to do. See, you've prospered already. You got $20 in your pocket that the gambling people ain't going to get from you. Praise the Lord. That's true though, ain't it? Why Christians don't gamble. X-rated for Christians. Amen. Amen. Good lesson. Good lesson. And not what Brother TV thinks, even though I do agree with God's word completely. And I don't gamble. I don't. Now, I told you in the beginning that, man, sometimes it just comes on me and the devil tries to get me cornered with it. He sure does. Well, if I had $5 million, if I had $100 million, I'd just tell the world to blabbity-blab and I'd go off in there and get me a place and help and all this kind of stuff, you know. The Bible says God is able to give you much more than this. much more. They've gambling people can't give you near as much as what God can give you. And when God gives it to you, it's going to be rich in every way possible. And not only in quantity, but in quality and everything else. And one of the best things about it is there's not going to be any sorrow with it. It ain't going to let you down. Isn't that tremendous? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. Are you ready? Thank you for studying with us today. And like we ain't even hardly been here at all, ain't it? Why Christians don't gamble. First scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 through 27. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 12 through 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 17. John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24. And the last one for today is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you so much for studying God's Word. How encouraging is that, that all of us are together, and we love the Lord, and we know that He's pleased with us studying His Word and that He is going to prosper us in His Word. We have faith in that, and we know the Lord says that if we'll honor Him and we'll study His Word, that He'll give us understanding and wisdom and teach us. And He is, isn't He? And it only gets better. It only gets better. We want to be the person that the Lord's making us. Yes, we do. All right, we'll stop right there. Next time, the next recording coming up, we're going to hit another avenue or another issue having to do with the X-rated for Christians, and that's why Christians do not smoke. I know you're going to be here. I'll talk to you when we get back together. All right, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. We're going to see what the Bible says. What it says, not what we think, what the Bible says. God bless you. Bye-bye.